that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves.
Only
because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have as my special featured guest today a woman of extensive editorial background who's actually been blackballed by the mainstream media. She's no longer welcome because she exposes too much truth. Miriam, I want you to give a few words to our audience of introduction, but the shit is hitting the fan. Bill Barr has exposed his true character and personality as a deep stater. He's denied that there's sufficient evidence to overturn the election in spite of overwhelming evidence. I am disgusting and appalled. Miriam.
Welcome. Thank you, Jim, for having me. Yes, I'm just reeling over that information. I don't know where he's looking, but as you said, at this point, it's I say we've reached undeniability avenue in regards to all the permutations of effery regarding this election. I am a journalist of 25 years, a real journalist, not a prostitute or parrot. And I used to write for the mainstream media. I used to be part of the mainstream until I blew the whistle on Bayer Crop Science and increasingly got given the boot. So I started off at MSNBC. I hail from Montreal, Canada. I've been in America for 24 years. And my first job arriving to California, Los Angeles, was working for Channel 4, producing the news for the internet at a time when the TV stations were thinking that if you log in, you will not tune in. So they saw it as competition. And then eventually I quit that job and began freelancing. So freelance for The Hollywood Reporter, Maxim, Los Angeles Magazine, Black Book, Penthouse, I freelance. So depending on the idea, and I would pitch my own original ideas. And then I directed and produced Vanishing of the Bees, which up until today was narrated by Ellen Page, but now it's Elliot Page. And
what a world we live in, Miriam. I mean, it's amazing.
Exactly. We live in clown world. To each their own, I believe. But yeah, so I used to write for the mainstream, and I produced the film Vanishing of the Bees about the global bee disappearances, which is still appropriate and relevant today because we are the bees slowly being poisoned. And my last interaction with the mainstream was, I guess, last year in spring. I wrote a story called The Politics of CBD in a Techno-Fascist Age, because I really started feeling the wrath of censorship and techno-fascism when I started selling CBD oil, which was at the end of 2016, 2017, long before Martha Stewart and Kim Kardashian. I was on the front lines and started getting shut down by all the mainstream processors, payment processors like QuickBooks and PayPal and Stripe and Square. And I then eventually wrote a story that I dumbed down for Marie Claire magazine. And we had gone through iterations of editing, and they called me at my home office and asked me what my personal views were on vaccines. And they then killed my story. And they gave me some BS excuse, but in reality, it was because of my stance on vaccines. And that's, I'm also a certified functional medicine consultant and coach. And I've reversed lupus and fibromyalgia, because after making the film Vanishing of the Bees, I ironically was sprayed by pesticides. Do you have to take that?
I'm sorry. It was going to ring. I just wanted to get it off. Go right ahead. You're doing terrific. I love what your background, and I want to go to the bees, Canada. You've raised a host of issues here over and beyond.
Yes. Okay, so I'll just basically, my beats have been vaccine safety. I've been covering the Rona since January. This time last year, we witnessed, I covered what I dub Operation Samoa, which was basically mass vaccinating 200,000 human beings in 30 days in Samoa for the measles. And many of us who are medical freedom fighters and who cover vaccine safety felt that something was coming. We thought that it was going to be Ebola, but it was the Rona. And so in March of last year, I left to go to the jungle and was reporting from the jungle for 6 months. So, yeah, and now I'm covering the elections.
Well, you know, Samoa, I thought, was really courageous because after some vaccines there, they had a couple of, I think they were twins, who died. And the leader of Samoa declared a moratorium on vaccinations, which I thought was very striking. We know we got 500,000 children paralyzed in India, thanks to Bill Gates. We got, scads of others killed in Africa. We got the H1N1 vaccine bringing about brain damage. We know autism is directly correlated to the use of vaccines, where some projections have it that by 2050, half of our children will be autistic. Miriam, I'm sure you're familiar with all of that. I mean, this.
Absolutely. I want to say in reference to in Samoa, there was a moratorium, but that was prior to what happened last year. So there were 28 samples that they sent, I believe it was to Victoria, either New Zealand or Australia. And based on 7 cases, they did what they're doing now, which they issued an emergency. And based on 7 cases, now measles has never been fatal. And to go door to door, and parents had to hide their children in the attic and in the jungle, and they passed a law called the Law of Love. And the Law of Love gives jurisdiction over to the government over parents. And so when we witnessed what was going on, and my impetus or my angle, and I spoke to the government in Samoa, and I called Merck because I was trying to figure out what vaccine they were giving, because oftentimes they will dump a vaccine that's gotten a bad rap in one country and they'll just dump it. And I did confirm that one of the vaccines was from India and was with the Indian company that was doing business with Billy Boy Gates. And as far as, you know, you mentioned H1N1, like Fauci has been behind all of these pushes, all of these plandemics. They've been practicing for a really long time. I call him the plandemic impresario. I had covered Zika in 2017, and I was saying then, oh, you want to go to Florida? Well, you're going to have to get your vaccine. And here we are. These people are maniacal over the vaccines. And if you just understand the adjuvants that go into them, like imagine a witch's brew and you're like, let's put a little formaldehyde and let's put a little bit of latex and let's use fetal tissue. So just the concept of using aborted fetal tissue to grow as a substrate to grow your live viruses and then to inject them back into the baby. I mean, it should end there. That's kind of evil.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And it looks as though, as Catherine Austin Phipps has emphasized, they want to include in their injectables microchips, some kind of mind-brain interface, control our thoughts, control our identity, financial records. It's grotesque. Not to mention heavy metals and, as you say, aborted fetal tissue and God knows what all else, but most certainly not things that are good for human beings or other living things.
No, people have forgotten. The real virus is fear and hate, and people have forgotten that we have an immune system. These newfangled vaccines are experimental. They will genetically modify us. We can be patented, really, and they have nanotech and they have a hydrogel that will serve as a chip, like the luciferase enzyme. So and you know, you have to think they're building fridge farms. There's something odd when you have to keep a vaccine at that temperature. And it usually takes 8 to 10 years to develop a vaccine, and then it's still not safe. So to applaud this McMedicine and to think it's like it's a feat of science, this is scientism, and to state that, you know, we've developed a vaccine in record time. Who knows when they really started developing this vaccine? We do know that they've been trying to develop a coronavirus for decades without any success. And we do know, and many of us have been shouting this since last February, at least from in my case, that this PCR test is not a diagnostic tool. Kerry Mullis, the inventor, stated it. It's very convenient that he died in August 2019.
Yes.
Who knows what he would be saying. But this is a ruse. This is their hocus pocus. They use the PCR to scare the people with this case-demic for something that's less fatal than the flu. And the compliance that has occurred in such a short amount of time with these face diapers, we're also ushering in a social credit system. People like me will not do so well because I am defiant. I'm not a sheep. And I ask questions. I've always asked questions. And you will be punished. Why is it that I am banned from PayPal, GoFundMe, Kiva, Instacart, Airbnb? I was banned off of Amazon. I just got that reinstituted because they took basically a decade of my books, which I've paid for. So many of us, and then to say, you know, we keep on having these hearings and it seems like it only gets worse. And that the last hearing, there was some Democrat stating that big tech is doing their job or stating that there is no prejudice towards conservatives, which is absolutely bunk. That's BS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could agree on every single issue you've been mentioning there. And we even have the latest report. A publication from Johns Hopkins, they've done their best to withdraw, showing that the coronavirus isn't making a difference to the number of deaths from year to year across all age groups, not just the elderly, meaning it's not causally relevant, meaning the whole thing is a mind game. They're running all this fear porn through the media to have us petrified so we'll give up everything that's meaningful in our lives, interaction with other people, going out to restaurants, going to sports events, going to symphonies or plays, meeting with our family, having Thanksgiving, having Christmas. This is the most diabolical development in world history. I'm absolutely stunned.
Absolutely, Jim. I agree. 100%. This is all, you know, that it was an independent analyst it was up for a few days. It was a newsletter in John Hopkins. How can we still be referencing John Hopkins? But this analyst, this independent, because the number one, first of all, respiratory illnesses was the fifth leading cause of death. So spoiler alert, we all die. So why not live? It's not a way to live in fear like this. So what, and heart disease is the number one cause of death. So this independent saw that the numbers of fatalities for heart disease has gone down. Because everybody's getting pegged as COVID-19 because the hospital gets money. My uncle died, I guess, 2 months ago. My family thinks that it's the coronavirus that killed him. He died with corona, but he died of a ventilator. And I told my family, he's going to die, just letting you know. And they said, we don't care. My dad said, I don't care what you have to say.
Putting someone on a ventilator is virtually a death sentence. They're very bad. They're harmful to your lungs. I mean, it's a desperate measure that should never be implemented unless there's really no choice whatsoever. And as you're observing, yes, they're taking all kinds of respiratory diseases, even heart attacks and ailments and classifying as COVID-19. Not distinguishing between dying with COVID-19 and dying from COVID-19. Edward Hendry has a brilliant piece about this I've just published on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, leaving no doubt about it. This is a scientific scam. They're using pseudo-scientific authorities like Tony the Rat and Bill Gates, Gates is not a doctor, not a virologist, not an epidemiologist. He has no background or competence in this area, and yet he's being treated as though he were an authority when he treats vaccinations as a business. For him, every vaccine is bucks in his pocket, and that's why he wants to vaccinate the whole world. That's a whole lot of bucks in Bill Gates' pocket.
Absolutely. I mean, last year I did a spoof because there's a Wikipedia entry on people who suffer from vaccine hesitancy, basically a condition that doesn't exist. So I did a spoof on, and I called it vaccine mania and vitriol disorder. These people are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs regarding their vaccines. Fauci went on record and stated that he does not gain to benefit. He lied to Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, when she asked him whether he has anything to gain. I'm sad that to see Scott Atlas.
Oh yeah.
Go. I'm actually going to see if I can try to interview him. I thank him for, and I thank Donald Trump for being as close to the truth. I mean, I wish that, you know, when he says the more we test, the more positives, but he fails to say they're false positives.
Right.
And they are maniacal over their tracking and their tracing. And they want to, you know, three people that I know, two of them who are dead, were not sick until they had that PCR test. We know that the first ones were tainted from the WHO and the CDC, by the way. None of these are FDA issued. They're all under EUA, emergency authorization use. There's hundreds of different companies that are issuing the PCR test if it's set to 30. Fauci himself said if it's an amplification, right? It's for looking for genetic code. If it's set to 35 or plus, it's going to come with false positives. Well, I believe it's set to 40 as far as the cycles that it
right.
runs. And so it will find it will find you false. It means nothing.
Right.
They're going after the healthy sick, the asymptomatic, so that you're scared of grandma or you're scared of your brother, that there's fear.
They've acknowledged that if you're asymptomatic, you're not contagious. So, I mean, it's just insulting beyond belief.
Yeah, it's insulting beyond belief. And it's also it's surprising, and I know many feel this way, how quick people have been to embrace their face diapers. I often ask, do you know what size the virus supposedly is compared to that cloth mask?
They don't know.
It doesn't matter. The fact that you're, you know, I'm in San Francisco. Every day I am astonished at the number of people who are wearing their face masks outside. Like, intuitively, don't you want to breathe fresh air from God? Don't you intuitively want to breathe fresh air? I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that, you know, people like my mom will say, how can the whole world be lying? And it's very easy. Apparently, we just put some stickers on the ground and then all of a sudden it's official. You know, we have people who know crap about health, like your stewardess, who's exuding her power over someone else, power tripping. We're evoking a snitch nation where you have some stewardess saying, well, it's not discrimination, it's the CDC. Who cares that you have a doctor's note? If you're not able to put your face mask on for hours, you cannot fly.
I feel I have a bona fide medical excuse. I need to breathe.
Exactly. That's my condition. I need oxygen.
Well, I mean, you know, the idea of recycling oxygen depleted air, it's killing brain cells, which is irreversible, putting a strain on your cardiovascular system. I was shocked when I saw television young girl athletes playing soccer wearing face masks. I mean, Miriam, this is just tragic. And it does more damage to children and young people because they're growing and need oxygen even more. I had predicted in the past a 5-point drop in the average IQ of Americans, but I think it's actually going to be even greater than that.
I agree with you. I mean, it's quantifiable. There's studies, if you can still find them, showing how chemicals rob you of IQ points. I mean, we are, and I've covered and written about dumbing down of Americans, but clearly we're seeing sheeple and zombies. I would say years ago that the future is here, the zombies are now. But I'm floored. I didn't think that people were, I mean, common sense is not common anymore. I don't know if it's the food, if it's the, you know, I watch the NBC Nightly News or CNN just to see what people are being exposed to. It's a comedy show. It's a horror show. And you need to throw your TV in the trash. I mean, we need to be able to reach the ones that aren't converted. I don't want to be preaching to the choir. And so I'm refining my approach. Is it humor? Is it using deprogramming tactics? Because I took a psychology of cults class in university. I minored in psychology. I don't know where the answer lies, but I say if the Rona is not going to wake you up, I don't know what is. And witnessing what's happening as far as the elections, how people, Americans, are coming together and holding these Senate, you know, testifying in these Senate hearings. And I wish that we could do the same thing in regards to the coronavirus.
Yeah, well, the American people, alas, are very gullible and scientifically illiterate. And with the mainstream media pounding over and over the same message, even though it's blatantly false, provably false, the average American has no inclination or ability to do the least research that might expose a sham. And we all become impaled with the consequences. We're about to hit the break, of course, and I will be encouraging callers for the second hour. The number 540-352-4452 with my wonderful journalist guest who has been spot on every topic she's hit so far. When we return, we'll pick up where Bill Barr has left the nation, disgracing himself as our attorney general. We'll be right back.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me remind everyone, as I mentioned yesterday, today will be my last show in this time slot that I'm moving to Wednesday, Friday, Monday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. That's noon to 2 Eastern, 9 to 11 Pacific, to give a better distribution throughout the week to report on the latest developments. My first show on the new schedule tomorrow will feature Ed Hendry, who did this brilliant piece you can find on my blog about the coronavirus having no statistically discernible effect, which in turn supports the inference that it has no causally significant role to play. In other words, this is all a mind game, and where they have simply reclassified individuals who died from pulmonary diseases or diabetes or what have you, a half a dozen different causes, including the flu, where they've openly admitted they're no longer keeping statistics on the flu because they're simply redescribing them falsely as coronavirus to perpetrate this enormous scam. So you won't want to miss hearing Ed Hendry tomorrow. Meanwhile, we have the report from Barr from the Associated Press. Miriam, I'll read a few paragraphs here and get your comments. This is now notice the slant the Associated Press itself gives in reporting the story. Washington. Attorney General William Barr said Tuesday the Justice Department has not uncovered evidence of widespread voter fraud that would change the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. His comments in an interview with the Associated Press come despite President Donald Trump's repeated baseless claims. This is the Associated Press saying repeated baseless claims, when anyone who's been following the evidence knows that the evidence is simply overwhelming, far from baseless, enormous, immense, and provable, that the election was stolen. Trump's effort to subvert the results of the 2020 presidential election and his refusal to concede his loss to President-elect Joe Biden. Well, this is all preposterous nonsense. The Democrats want every vote to count. Every real American wants every legal vote to count. and there were overwhelmingly more illegal votes cast in this election than any heretofore. Barr said U.S. attorneys and FBI agents have been working to follow up specific complaints and information they've received, but they've uncovered no evidence that would change the outcome of the election. Barr was headed to the White House later for a previously scheduled meeting. To date, we have not seen fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election, Barr told the AP. Miriam, that's just disgusting. I have a colleague who just returned from Washington, where he was working with others about dealing with all these issues, and he was telling me that there was a consensus that Barr, in fact, was a traitor, not just to Donald Trump, but to the entire nation, about which I think there's no question at this point in time.
Well, I started covering the election, and my goal was to be able to have a conversation with lefties, people that I consider myself a Democrat, and I've only gotten into politics in the past year and a half. My focus was on food politics, and it's overwhelming, as you've said, to not, regardless of which aisle you find yourself socially distanced in, you should care about voter integrity, and to say, for Barr to say, for anyone to say at this point that there is no credible evidence. If you look at the affidavits, if you look at the suits, if you look, I look at for patterns. If you look, it's undeniable to say, like Chris Krebs, to go to the extent to say that this is the most secure election in U.S. history, as I've said, is a little bit of a stretch. Is a red flag to go because you should be. I use this analogy. Let's say I won a game and I was told that I was cheating. I would, you know, let's look at the footage. Let's do it again. Like, I have nothing to hide. I'm confident. Let us look, because we need to we need to make sure that voter integrity is part of a democracy. And are we ushering in communism with all that's going on? So, and also, you know, you have Lou Dobbs interviewing, for instance, Sidney Powell. Well, Lou, why didn't you tell your viewers that you covered this in 2006 when you were working with CNN? You did a story on Smartmatic and Dominion. This is not new. I have scraped footage from Pelosi in 2017. Also, the president wanted to investigate potential fraud, and he was gaslit and shamed. But now the mainstream is still not acknowledging that there's any effery. And it's just, it's undeniable. Nevada, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona. So, you know, there's a Stop the Steal movement, core group of patriots who have been peacefully protesting. And when you look at the energy behind these rallies prior to the election, President Trump was saying they use the coronavirus as a pretext. I found hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits that have to do with the disruption of the electoral process because of the coronavirus. And so, you know, Corona has carte blanche to usher in whatever the hell it wants.
Here's a response, by the way, of the Trump legal team. This is Rudy Giuliani and Gina Ellis. Statement of Trump legal team on Bill Barr's comments on voter fraud. With all due respect to the Attorney General, there hasn't been any semblance of a Department of Justice investigation. We have gathered ample evidence of illegal voting in at least six states, which they have not examined. We have many witnesses swearing under oath. They saw crimes being committed in connection with voter fraud. As far as we know, not a single one has been interviewed by the Department of Justice. The Justice Department also hasn't audited any voting machines or used their subpoena powers to determine the truth. Nonetheless, we will continue our pursuit of the truth through the judicial system and state legislatures and continue toward the Constitution's mandate in ensuring that every legal vote is counted and every illegal vote is not. Again, with the greatest respect to the Attorney General, his opinion appears to be without any knowledge or investigation of the substantial irregularities and evidence of systemic fraud. In other words, a polite way of saying that he's ignorant and arrogant and abusing his position. I mean, this is really insulting to the American people, Miriam. I really am disgusted with this guy.
Just like we've seen, Jim, leaders of other countries congratulating Joey when the media does not get to announce who is president, saying the body's still warm and we're still counting ballots. And then you have whether it's Netanyahu or Justin Castro saying congratulations. So this is really, I find that we are in almost like a reality show. I have to entertain the possibility that this is all political theater. And I do feel that in order to have the civil war, that they will need someone like Trump to be in power. And I say, Jason Burmes used this analogy. I'm tweaking it a little bit. Do you want to run to the New World Order or do you want to walk? And someone like President Trump, I'm going to stand with the man who believes in God, who is saying that he survived the coronavirus. He's not standing on a platform of fear like Joey and does not want to lock down like Joey wants mandated masks. Says it's patriotic, whatever. Real men don't wear masks. And it's not really about America, about Trump. It's about the Republic and making sure that we still have a constitution, or else we're just going to find ourselves living in a socialist communist country.
Yeah, how could anyone think this guy, Joe Biden, who hid in a basement, who is cognitively impaired, who has a history of doing inappropriate things with little girls, like when Christopher Coons was sworn in the Oval Office, he leaned over to his daughter and said, and I witnessed this at the time, it was picked up on the mic, do you have any idea how horny it makes me to be standing next to a 14-year-old girl? I mean, it's outrageous.
Really?
Yes. It was a big sensation at the time. You can find the articles where they have bleeped the audio tape. But the words he used are printed in the articles that remain online, and where he was campaigning on a platform of what, defund the police? Has there ever been a less appealing platform? Supporting implicitly rioting, looting, arson, talking about destroying the oil industry, the Green New Deal, all of which would set America back 100 years just after having achieved our own energy independence. I mean, this guy is such a total fraud. But they knew it didn't matter because the fix was in. When Donald Trump came to Kenosha, it's just 2 hours from where I reside here near Madison, Wisconsin, there was a string of citizens five blocks long. When Biden came, there was one misguided school teacher out to greet him. And it was that way all over the country. Trump was drawing tens of thousands. Biden couldn't get 10 people to a rally. Even when he made his announcement, he came out on this stage and where it was in a drive-in theater with a bunch of red, white, and blue Jeeps that had no occupants. I don't think there was a soul there. I mean, this is also fraudulent. I wonder, by the way, if you picked up that the individual who participated in the debates was actually not Joe Biden. But an actor looks very much like him. I just got a call today because I've been publishing about this, saying they thought it was Joe Biden's brother, Jim. And of course, Jim and Joe and Hunter were all involved in these corrupt actions, including with China, money laundering, all kinds of corruption. where Hunter, where Tucker Carlson performed a valuable contribution to the political discussion, though he may be losing some of his luster now, when he featured Tony Bobulinski on his show, who is their business guy. And he confirmed all the corrupt acts they were engaged in, said he was so outraged, you know, he really felt like standing up in the audience when he participated or sat there in the debate, and where Tucker got 7.8 million viewers. We have polls now. 1/6 of Democrats are saying if they knew about the butter stuff, they would not have voted for Biden. Well, most Americans didn't vote for Biden. In fact, it appears the actual vote was around 73 million for Trump, 23 for Biden. That shows how much ground they had to make up. It was an overwhelming landslide, which is why they had to resort to a plan B or even a plan C of bringing in truckloads of additional fake ballots. I mean, Marion, this is as disgusting as it gets.
Yes, it's very disgusting. I had not heard about Joe possibly being Jim. So I wasn't aware.
I would love for you to check that out. It's right on my blog. It's the second or third.
Are you talking about the last debate?
I'm talking about both debates. We knew before the debate, Miriam, that the Biden team, we had reports the Biden team had the questions. There's nothing new there. Hillary always had the questions. Donna Brazile, among others, made sure of that. We also had the report that Joe had a skull implant, so he could receive instructions from off stage, wireless. But we had the most interesting defection from the staff reporting that the anti-dementia medication he was taking had the unfortunate side effect of incontinence. So they'd actually had staff meetings to decide which type of adult diaper he ought to be wearing.
I've heard of that. I will check it out. I mean, I try as a journalist to really source the info, so certain things that I can't, I'll just say it's alleged or suggested. Regardless, the point here is that this man does not garner the crowds that President Trump does in any which way, and that we knew, and arguably Trump would have known, that this fraud was going to be, I mean, he was talking about election. He was saying that this is going to be the most important election in U.S. history. So I wonder if it is semi-scripted. I really do hope that Trump represents what he says he does, which is the people and the Constitution. Certainly the people do that side with him love the Constitution and love this country, and many voted for Biden just because he's not Trump. And TDS is real. I've never had hatred towards Orange Man. And it was only this year in January that I started watching him religiously every single day. And I like to listen to these hearings because I see things that others don't. I'm looking for patterns. I'm looking for nuances. And I've the more that they hate him, I would say, I guess the more that I embrace President Trump. And if I were to choose, I would side with conservatives and Republicans. But again, I thought that it was a Democrat, but I'm just so off put by the hatred towards one person. And like as I started investigating the election, and again, like, for instance, I've watched 6 hours of the Arizona hearing. I'm now, you know, once we finish this, I will go back to be listening to the Michigan, because my third part in my series is on Michigan. But so I was going to say, I spoke to a friend, and I've lost many friends. And he was saying, you're entitled. Oh, President Trump is acting like a whiny bitch. And I was like, and you're entitled to your opinion. I'm like, this is not my opinion. I'm looking at affidavits. I'm looking at lawsuits. I'm listening to whistleblowers.
Yeah.
It's undeniable. You can tell. You can use discernment and tell these people all types of variations. People were bullied. I mean, just look at what happened in Michigan, that you had a deadlock, and then you have them, you know, Monica Palmer and William Hartman were accused of being racist. I mean, I've been called a racist. By the way, I'm brown. Like, what?
It's just absurd. And you meant you'd lost friends over politics, right? Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We're trying to wake people up from the coronavirus. When I was going to go to Arizona for a Stop the Steal, and I just posted on my personal Facebook, I'm looking for a place to stay, and I was told, do you suffer from COVID-19 brain, which is very mean. What does that mean?
Is there a virus in your brain?
People engage in ad hominem attacks.
Yes.
Rather than speak about the topics at hand. And if you're devoted to finding out the truth, then you want to learn. Before I watched Tucker Carlson, I had friends that stood for Trump and watched Fox. And I was like, how the hell do they watch Fox? But I didn't write them off. Because I like the person. And so you can agree to disagree, and that's supposed to be the democratic way. And I call them demon rats.
Yes, yes. Well, my history is somewhat parallel. I always regard myself as a JFK FDR Democrat because I support the social welfare program, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. It seemed to me to be the only government programs that have really benefited the American people. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But when it came to Hillary versus Trump was like a breath of fresh air, you know, a new start, clean things up. It was clear cut. Hillary is such a monster. And, you know, Trump has just done so much good for this country. I don't agree with everything. Some of his foreign policy moves in relation to Israel, I do not endorse and have strongly condemned. But on the whole, I mean, look what he did with the economy. This is why so many blacks and Latinos were supporting Trump. We had a Rasmussen poll back in December showing 40% of black likely voters were going to support Donald Trump. I think that's when the Democrats began to panic and realized they had to do something extraordinary or there'd be a massive landslide for this guy, which is exactly how it played out.
Yeah, and let's see what happens. I certainly do not want to live in this country under Joe Biden. I hope that if I decide to leave, that I will be allowed to leave because we are all being enslaved. I'm angry at how unhealthy we were already. One in every two people was sick with a chronic illness. They're priming the body, and you wear your face diaper, I do, for, less than a minute. And what comes to mind is hashtag I can't breathe. And George Floyd is a psyop. I've been covering George Floyd since May 26th.
Yes.
And people don't realize that this man said, I can't breathe 11 times. He asked to be placed on the ground. The real independent examiner, Andrew Baker, they tried to can Hennepin County and said that he caused, quote, irreparable damage to the black community. Why? Because you ran a toxicology report and showed that this guy was off his mind and had fentanyl in his body. How convenient that he was COVID-19 positive.
Miriam, listen to this. Before he was put in the police squad car, which normally would take him to the precinct to be booked and mugshot, he was manacled behind his back. He had hair on his head. They put him in the squad car. We have footage of all that. What we don't have is footage of him being taken out of the squad car and put on the ground. But now he has no hair. Now his hands in front of his body. It was not actually George Floyd. It was a Sigma 7 airway training mannequin they put out there. I have got this in spades. This is one of these fake hate crimes that, like Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace, that I am discussing during my presentation at the False Flag and Conspiracies Conference I have this coming weekend on the 5th and 6th of December, where I have 24 speakers, my God, covering everything under the sun, including the godfathers of sex abuse, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, targeted individuals. I've got some of the best people in the world addressing these issues, experts on JFK, including the leading medical expert. It goes on and on. I mean, it's just tremendous what's going to be there. So I want to encourage everyone to think about it. And of course, I want to remind you the phone number, if you want to call in and speak to Miriam, the number is 540-352-4452. Again, 540-352-4452. And anyone who wants to check out, the blog I'm talking about at jamesfetzer.org, it's entitled The Real Joe Biden versus Actor Joe Biden. And you can see the photographic evidence for yourself. Miriam, I hope you might be able to take a look, because this is a big story. And I've been trying to get the press to pay attention to it. I mean, it's a blockbuster. By itself, it reveals fraud that would invalidate the Democratic campaign and lead to President Trump's reelection by default, all by itself.
I will take a look at it. In regards to just for George Floyd, that Keith Ellison sat on the body cam footage. Why do we have Keith Ellison on this case when Keith Ellison is corrupt? He tried this in the media. There was discussion to move this out of Hennepin County. You'd have to move it to a different planet to get a proper, who doesn't know about George? It's comical to say, let's move it to another county. And so Keith Ellison sat on this footage. This footage fell into the lap of the Daily Mail. I've clipped it and used it. It just so happened that the journalist who wrote the piece was someone that I used to write for. I used to tip information about Hollywood for In Touch magazine. And when I spoke to him off the record, he said, and I didn't identify myself as a conservative. He said, why do all of you conservatives mention George Soros? I say that George Floyd is like the Ozarks on COVID. There was Ozarks is a show on money laundering directed by Justin Bateman. There was a money laundering operation happening in January. The Minneapolis State Department received 901 counterfeit bills. Guests from where? Made in China. On the same time that Wuhan was shutting down, when we were experiencing the first quarantine in human history.
By the way, I have a report that China bought Dominion voting systems for $400 billion in 2019.
On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me repeat for anyone who missed the memo that today will be the last show I do in the 3 to 5 central time zone slot. But beginning tomorrow, I'll be on from 11 to 1 central, noon to 2 Eastern, and 9 to 11 Pacific for the Raw Deal, which is moving to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday program sequence. And where I will be featuring Edward Hendry, who's done a brilliant job about dissecting the coronavirus scam based upon the study published by Johns Hopkins that they moved to delete because it revealed too much truth. I have two of my favorite callers standing by. Giuseppe, please begin. Join the conversation with Miriam.
Well, it was wonderful. I got back from running the first of the month errands, like paying the rent, and tuned in. And there she is, one of my favorite journalists, a true muckraker. And hour one was just outstanding. I'm wondering what both your thoughts are on this insane rush to begin vaccinating with such an egregiously unproven, radical new technology.
Mary, you're muted. We're both strongly.
Giuseppe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
When are you talking about in general or any new developments specific?
The COVID-19, he means.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But are you speaking about any headlines or Pfizer or Moderna or just in general?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're both going to get the emergency approval. So it's going to begin happening probably as soon as next week. And it's okay. Just so outrageous.
What comes to mind is I really wonder if the first batches will be placebos. And I interviewed Dr. Carrie Madej. Sorry, Carrie, if I'm mispronouncing your name, but I had the honor to meet her in Florida, and she also is of the mind that the first batches will be placebos. I don't know how they're getting EUA. Under EUA, I've read that it won't be mandatory until it's FDA approved, which will arguably take longer. So, I mean, that is the $1 billion question. And that's the thing that many of us have been fighting for, is to educate people and to ensure that we have medical freedom. So I posted a little clip of Utopia, which is a show with John Cusack on Amazon, more predictive programming, talking about the sterilization aspect of this. And in that clip, it says that the people will run to get the vaccine. Will they be satisfied with the sacrificial lambs that will run to get this BS vaccine?
It's very interesting you mentioned placebos, because that would mean, say, 1,000, 10,000 could get it and have no adverse effects. They don't realize, of course, they've not actually been given the vaccine, which I predict is going to have massive side effects, very debilitating. I got a description from someone whose friend took the vaccine and said she felt completely different thereafter. Yes. It has translated to me as though it could be some kind of liquid lobotomy. I think it's that bad.
Well, it's interesting that I totally have suspected for weeks.
It was a friend of a friend. I might have trouble tracking it back, but I was shocked by their description that they felt completely different, like they didn't have any emotions, you know. And that, of course, is a typical effect of a lobotomy. A lot of docile population in the U.S. is exactly what they want, of course. They want to turn us more into akin to the social insects, rather than, you know, individuals who have our own interests, abilities, assertiveness, plans, and aspirations. I mean, look how we're being locked down in our own homes, put in masks, we're social distancing, killing everything that makes life meaningful, and depriving us of a source of income, which appears to have been the basic plan to begin with, to make us totally subservient.
Yeah, it's about the Great Reset and universal. Yes. Universal. What do you think? What do you think, Giuseppe? And also, have you seen that sci-fi movie Equals? Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. I have suspected for months that they would introduce it. I don't think they can go with a complete placebo, because that requires trusting thousands upon millions of people to not test the vaccine independently. But I think what they're going to go with is such a low dose that it's essentially a placebo. No, I've never heard of it. And the other thing that I find super disturbing is the religious cult-like fervor to be part of this by the average normie. I mean, they're independent of critically thinking. And I was just reading an article about an hour ago from this email list that some affiliate of PBS puts out. It's called Next Avenue for Seniors. And this woman, a 59-year-old woman, signed up for the Pfizer testing regimen because she wants to have her children and her grandchildren be free to, you know, just such maudlin BS. But what's interesting is her side effects. And granted, maybe all the listeners don't understand that the testing they're doing is on very low doses in healthy people. And even though she had a very low dose, she still felt like the worst hangover ever both times. And the second time her little needle wound wasn't healing and it actually was getting red and irritated. And I'm like, this is just going to be a dystopian nightmare when you get millions of these people injected with this toxic, unproven garbage, essentially poison.
Absolute garbage. I mean, that's it's definitely, we're going to get to a point just like with the masks, no service, no vaccine, no service. Unfortunately, I think that the mob of people who are embracing this, who have been brainwashed, who know nothing about health, will prevail, and we will need to create alternative places to be able to move around or to do business, because it's going to be like, you know, what was it? No, you can't go see a concert. You Qantas, you can't fly. I mean, this is what we've been projecting. This is what we've been seeing. The movie Equals, I believe, came out in 2016. It's a sci-fi where you are pretty much lobotomized. Emotion is a bad thing. It's like a disease. And these two characters fall in love with one another and are not the normies. And have to like meet in quiet, make love in quiet. I mean, it's just not allowed. You're lobotomized, and emotion is not. And this is, you know, now we're seeing our children being shamed if they have any emotions. We're really like with the mask, you're not given preference. Let's say how you look. You can't read your cues. You can't read someone's face, right? You can't see if they're smiling. It's definitely to make us obedient. It's about conformity. It's not about the virus. I find it like you're wearing you've embraced your face diaper, and you don't even know what size the virus is, which, by the way, arguably has never been isolated. It's a synthetic isolation, as Dr. Judy Mikovits told us when we were interviewing her, Giuseppe, a couple of weeks ago.
Giuseppe's a huge fan of Dr. Judy, whom I have also interviewed on this show. She's wonderful, wonderful.
Absolutely.
Giuseppe, you want to follow up before I bring in Paul?
What's interesting, I just looked up that movie. That looks really like total predictive programming. And what's interesting to me is that, number one, the people don't understand things like excessive mask wearing. That was the real cause of more deaths during the so-called Spanish flu pandemic than the Spanish flu, was bacterial pneumonia from excessive mask wearing. And that and the average arrogant cultist who wants to virtue signal everyone that they're going to get the vaccine doesn't understand that this has been tried before. In 2003 in China, they had thought they had beat the swine flu. And keep in mind that all these so-called natural zootropic jumps are not. They're bioweapons, gain of function, experimentation that were accidentally released again and again, dating all the way back to HIV. And so 2003, China thought that they had beaten the swine flu and were the first functional coronavirus vaccination. So they went through four different levels of animal trials, and all the animals developed antibodies. They go and they test it on 180 patients, and all of a sudden, like it always does, the coronavirus mutated. All 180 patients died because Judy always says, Dr. Judy, the cytokine storm, your body erupts in inflammation, your lungs swell, your heart swells. I mean, it's a horrible way to die. And all 180 died, and they totally scrubbed the efforts. And that's what they're doing now, except now they arrogantly think they solved it with wrapping a fat around a very specific type of RNA protein, but they haven't solved it, because when it mutates, the same thing is going to happen again. You cannot beat nature with one little tick at a time. Nature's got billions of mutations every moment. It's beyond the scope of modern technology, and they arrogantly refuse to see that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I feel, you know, I'm not going to stop fighting or speaking, but I am disheartened. I'm disheartened at fellow man. I understand through the lens of an elitist how they call human beings useless eaters. And I don't really know how to snap people out of their magic spell. I hung out with some women. I love hanging out with women, and arguably this has been a lonely year. And there was one woman in the beginning, I went to hug her, and she works with a lot of people. She's open. She actually told me, I was telling her about George Floyd, and she said, I don't want to share that because it will discount the people who have been, a recipient of racism. So I found that an interesting comment. But by the time I was done with her, she hugged me. I mean, but she was around two women, me being one of them, that were not scared, because it's gotten to the point where I know people that are wearing masks inside the house.
I know.
And so by the time, you know, she hugged me, by the time she left, she was very grateful. And those are the types of people that I want to reach, that are on the fence, that feel that something is off, but are surrounded by, let's say, social justice warriors or lefty crazies. And it really does make a difference who you surround yourself with to give you that courage. Because what we're finding is, yes, there are many people who realize by now that this is all BS, that this is about control, but they doesn't mean that they have the guts to use their throat chakra and to speak out or to take it to the next step. And everybody wants to save their job, and so they just go along, and that's how we experience Nazism. What happened?
Our next caller has been very patient. Paul, join the conversation.
Hi, Miriam. You're doing good work, and I have tripped upon some of the things you've done before. What's interesting, you commented about the bees, and of course, many people have been warning about the decline of the bee populations over the years. And I have an interesting observation along those same lines. As a dog owner for now, my doggy I've had for 8 years now since I adopted him. And what I have noticed the last 3 to 4 years, and it's anecdotal, but of course anecdotal evidence is real, is there's almost no fleas on him now, as opposed to before. I used to have to regularly give him a bath, and I would occasionally go to one of these, you know, pet store places where you can actually rent a little tub with a shower gun hookup, you know, and you do it there. Or I rigged it up at home where I could do like my little shower gun hookup on my bathtub. And more times than not, literally no fleas come off of him. Whereas the first, say, 4 years or so that I had him, consistently on a regular basis, fleas would just be going down the drain. And it just has kind of made me wonder what the heck is going on. You know, it could be any number of things, but I keep thinking about the, you know, the chemtrail weather modification program as a possibility, or even the electromagnetic radiation.
Well, Miriam, do you think that Roundup is responsible for killing the bees, as I have gathered to be the case, or other causes?
Well, our film, which I spent 5 years investigating, colony collapse disorder, and certainly Monsanto and Roundup affects the gut of the bee, just like it affects the human's gut and lends to leaky gut. But at the heart of colony collapse disorder are these neonicotinoids, these nicotine-based chemicals that were supposed to replace organophosphates. And so what happens is that the poison is embedded and takes the form of nectar and pollen. And certainly there's a lot of variables, electro-EMFs. There's been many bees that have survived fine in proximity to cell phone towers. And it was proven in our film that that's not what the root cause of CCD is. But certainly there's tons of variables. It becomes a perfect storm, just like with the perfect cytokine storm that we see with the coronavirus. And You know, they'll like to tell you that it's mites or it's viruses, but in reality, it's the whittling down of the immune system, which we are seeing perfectly with the coronavirus. Like, yeah, stay inside, make sure you don't get any vitamin D, wear your face diaper, be isolated. These are all beautiful things. Use disinfectants, beautiful things for the immune system. So no, I don't think Roundup is the direct cause when you're speaking of CCD, but of course Roundup is not good for you.
Well, you make a great point, though, about the measures they're asking us to employ to defeat COVID, actually weaken our immune system and make us more vulnerable to a whole host of other threats in our environment. Not good. Not good at all.
No, not good at all. The impact of fear, if you know anything about epigenetics, and I'm not discounting the harmful impacts of EMFs. I was contending with mold toxicity, and I was literally living across the street from a Cinco Geo pole, which is my code word for since I've been very censored, and maybe I can talk about that and techno-fascism. But yeah, we've created a perfect storm of unhealthiness. What can I say?
Paul, that's the real second wave, not the bullshit COVID second wave. The destruction via fear and via the mask, that's your second wave.
Yeah, I think the weakening of the immune system that makes us vulnerable to a whole host of problems in the environment.
Exactly.
Paul, I know you've got more questions.
Well, sure. You know, I just found it interesting. Like I said, if you had seen what I've seen with my eyes, it was super noticeable. And I'm sure the life, I guess what you call the life cycle of the flea versus the bee is probably a lot different. But it was an interesting thing that just came into my mind. As far as your comment, Miriam, about, you know, you've lost friends and so forth. And all I can say is, hey, welcome to our world.
Right. We're all experiencing that. And at the same time, I've gained, you know, I'm part of Medical Freedom Group, let's say on Twitter, and many of these people I haven't met, but I thank them on a regular basis because I don't know what I would do without them. They're brilliant, whether they're mothers or scientists, real scientists or doctors like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. These colleagues keep me going. And certainly, yes, it's a lonely world. It's even harder to connect with people. I mean, let's say I took a Lyft ride and I asked if we can roll up the window. And he said, I need to keep it turned down because I don't want to die. I'm like, we all die.
Oh, God.
We all die. Hello. I said, you know, you'd have to be in close proximity for 8 hours in reality. And you know, you're more likely to get the coronavirus if you're wearing that face diaper. So I don't really know how to appeal or reach people who are really.
You can't really kind of, you just have to be yourself. And I'm probably not that good at it as maybe I would have been younger, but I just am so impatient now. I just use my 2x4 knowledge upside the head. And if it knocks something loose, great. You want to hear more, fine. If you want to resist or you want to deny, you want to continue to be stupid, I'm pretty much not going to invest much more time except to mock you. And it's unfortunate that that's what I've become. But Giuseppe knows some of the things I've, you know, gone through. I've shared with him and also Scorpio. I told Scorpio in an email one time, we were talking about kind of this topic about, you know, people in general and what they think of all this. And, you know, in my opinion, it's a complete, if it's all real, and of course it's not, but even if it was all real and the virus was an actual threat to kill people and so forth, my attitude would be similar to the Spartans. You know, it's like, hey, I'm sorry if you can't hack this little virus. The rest of us need to live. And I would be, you know, the first person to help anybody that needed help. And of course I would, you know, insist on the best and actual valid medical treatment for such things. But look at what they're doing to us. They don't care about us at all. That's the thing that gets me, is people actually believe.
That's right.
They're doing it for, you know, our protection. I mean, I've had multiple people tell me, well, you know, it's what we need to do. I mean, literally, a guy coming out of a gym that I was trying to talk out of wearing a mask and suggesting that he would, you know, protest to the management that there's no law that requires him to wear a mask, and they cannot actually require him as part of his membership, unless it's in the contract. And here's this guy, he's a muscled up 20-something-year-old guy going, well, you know, I think it's something we all need to do. It's like, okay, God, see you later. I'm out of here.
Yeah, or like shaming. I asked one woman, I was walking, and I'm like, why are you wearing your mask inside your car? Like, is your sedan going to infect you? But I just asked, and she's like, my body, my choice. Okay, but why are you wearing it? And she said, I'm doing it for you.
I love that. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sure. So
I do have. You
know, or like Biden, it's the patriotic thing to do. No,
I do have a quick question.
It's guilty. Oh, sorry.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was waiting for applause. I was going to say I did have a quick question. And it was something I was going to ask up top, but I started to mention the fleas and the bees. So here's my question. How long would it take you to fire Barr? Okay, this is kind of like going to be another one of my little litmus tests for Trump, you know, to see how real he is. How long would it take any of you to fire this guy? And that's an actual legitimate question I'm posing.
I personally don't think it's going to take him long. He fired others. I don't know. I mean, I've been on here. So has he addressed the
situation? I don't know, but I just posed the question in such a manner, and you know, we'll see. The bottom line is, how could you do this to your boss? Right? Trump's the one that appointed him.
Well, he's playing his card. You know, he's a deep state asset. It's obvious. It's disgusting. Yeah. And it now explains why we haven't had any indictments, why the Durham probe appears to have come to nothing. By the way, We'll have a bit more conversation when we come back from the break. Mary wants to address issues of censorship. So I want Paul and Giuseppe both to stay here on the line. If anyone else would like to call in, remember the number 540-352-4452. And I repeat, today is my last broadcast in this time slot that I'm moving to 11 to 1 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning tomorrow, that central time, or noon to 2 Monday, Wednesday, Friday Eastern, or 9 to 11 Monday, Wednesday, Friday Pacific. And I hope I'll be having you listen, check in, and call in when you're so disposed. I'm very, very pleased to have Miriam here with me today. And Paul and Giuseppe, stick around.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event.
Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me mention in passing that I've been sent some photographs of Joe Biden's brother, James, and I think there is the prospect he might be the Biden body double, but it's not, in my opinion, yet sufficiently determinative. Clearly, however, the body double is not Joe Biden. He has the attached earlobes, whereas Biden has pendant earlobes. He has brown eyes, Biden has blue. He has a much more cleft chin, Biden not. He has a narrower skull. He also, I think, may have broader shoulders, interestingly enough. Ties his tie with a single Windsor, Joe with a double. And, of course, there are all the body language issues I've reported before, where Jill, when she's with Joe, is just a static arm-in-arm, hand-in-hand. He's got this big shit-eating grin on his face. With a body double, they're not attached, not hand in hand. She's not aglow. She looks rather disturbed, and he most certainly is not grinning. He might be a tad taller. I really eagerly invite anyone out there to do research on Joe Biden and the body double, because a guy who participated in the first and the second debates, who may be going to be our next president, God forbid, should the most unfortunate outcome occur, is not the Joe Biden. Miriam, I know you want to talk about censorship, and I think that's a great topic. Please address it.
Hi. Okay. Let's see also, Barr is meeting with, is at the White House, right? So let's see what comes out of that. If he will be fired. Paul was asking how long it will take, or if he will maybe reconsider, maybe some of the evidence will be shared with him. So in regards to censorship, I think I briefly mentioned earlier that I was defending Alex Jones and Roseanne Barr. I was told, are you a Roseanne Barr fan? And I said, no, I'm a freedom of speech fan. I remember getting my first strike for a CBD video that I did on YouTube. Again, this was in 2017 when it was novel then, and now it's become commonplace. But I'm heavily I just lost my YouTube channel a month ago. And so after working really hard, 225 videos were deleted. So I have to start from scratch. I am on other platforms, YouTube. Susan Wojcicki arguably takes her direction from China, from the World Health Organization. They themselves have flip-flopped on things such as lockdowns or masks or whatever. And so I lost my YouTube channel. I live in Twitterville because as I'm finding things, I'm constantly sharing, and I love the platform, although it doesn't love me back. But I was put in jail for 12 hours last week for daring to share an article that ties Dominion with the CCP through Sequoia. So I'm just very censored. I was covering the Punch Google lawsuit on October 15th. There were several that were purged. They were falsely accused of cyberbullying and harassment. People like Sean of SGT Report and Polly of Amazing Polly. These people have big followings. And so ironically, I was scrubbed, but I only had like 6,000 because I was busy saving my company from the wrath of techno-fascism over CBD oil. I'm also the recipient of an operation that many probably don't know of called Operation Quack Hack. So Operation Quack Hack is, again, under the Rona regime. It's going after health professionals such as me or people who have health and wellness companies. My company is called honeycolony.com. And anyone who dares to suggest that there are natural remedies, so they're going after people who sell or make vitamin C, silver, magnesium, because NAC, NAC, because they're arguably going after these treatments, these natural remedies, and want to patent them, which involves making whatever, if it's turmeric, curcumin, synthesizing. So it's a fake, whether it's like CBD, it's FDA approved because it's synthetic. It's not real. So I have received 6 smear pieces this year discrediting me. Places such as USA Today, places such as Media Matters, which is arguably backed by George Soros. And Google no longer employs organic searches. It's genetically modified. So if they're employing auto suggestions, that's a mind control tactic. If you are not given the full Monty of information, then your perception is skewed, and therefore you cannot make a proper decision. And that is what is happening, because they are burying, for instance, health and wellness sites that have information. They are peddling Big Pharma's message. Big tech, Google is a drug company. I was one of the first to blow the whistle on that. You said, Paul, I think you tripped on me. You have to basically, I've been around for 25 years. I'm a real journalist, and I'm not a has-been. I have staying power. Why am I still around? My message was arguably in the future. And it's really sad. Like when people say, who do you write for? Well, I write for God. I write for truth. Does it really matter who I write for? Because the mainstream publications don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm looking now to see if I can do a show with someone else, to roll myself into someone else, because I am like Sisyphus pushing up a rock. If you read, you know, I shared with you my article in Activist Post, they don't pay. Why does a makeup artist get more money than me? I'm a brilliant, talented journalist. It's hard to write, to properly do research and care about details. So now I'm reliant on support, on taking donations. I have a beautiful company that would have made millions of dollars, but now there's a ceiling on my company. I can only be ex-successful. I used to make $3,000 a day in sales. Now I'm lucky if we make $1,000 in sales. I have employees. I had to take a loan from the government. Many of us are being attacked for being truthers. It's become difficult to be an independent journalist, and it's sad because that's all I want to do is cover the news, and that's all I do. You know, watching a 10-hour hearing, I don't just regurgitate. I listen to these actual hearings so that I can report from the source and not just be a parrot or a prostitute.
Paul, briefly, and then Brew, and then Giuseppe. Go ahead, Paul.
Right. Well, I was just going to say to Miriam, just sort of, you know, tongue in cheek, I trip over some of the best people. So,
Well, I'm very, Miriam. I mean, you're highly intelligent. You're very articulate, and you go for the truth, which is all properties that the deep state does not value. If you're not merely a subordinate parroting what they want the public to know, they're going to come after you. I myself have had 6 of my books censored by Amazon.com, hundreds of videos taken down by YouTube. I've had a lawsuit brought against me to punish me for exposing that nobody died at Sandy Hook. I mean, it's that bad. Brew has joined us. I'm sure he's a lot to say. Brew.
Yeah, that's right, Mary. Paul trips over me all the time. So anyway, I believe it was Trump who first said wearing a mask is patriotic. He's the first character, because I remember getting all hot and heavy about that. That really ticked me off. So now it's like a true communist, like a true Luciferian. What's that?
I would like to know when he said that, because he's not been masked.
He said that over the summer. He said that around probably June, July, approximately. He said it, he came out and said it. He said it right on the stage, right in front of the press. It's patriotic to wear a mask. So
it sounds
if you do see recent photos of him, he's walking through the White House or wherever else, leading his cast of characters wearing a mask. So he's along with the program.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
The
Luciferians, the devils, you know, they don't have any originality. So that's why Biden and his cast of characters now say it's patriotic to try to appeal to us, because Trump said it, blah, blah, blah. Now they're trying to be like appeal to the patriots, whatever. Anyway, let me say that in the last hour, you made an error. You said it was like $900 in counterfeit $1 bills. It was $900,000.
Yeah,
it was $900,000 that they actually found. It was being shipped in and pretty much from China. And that whole George Floyd cast of character, that whole screenplay is really confusing on many levels, because we have true reality things that were going on. Like, there was really a George Floyd who was passing counterfeit bills. He was also not just taking fentanyl, dealing drugs. They also has to do with that one club that they were all part of as security guards, and they worked at the club.
I interviewed his other employer at the salsa club, the Latin salsa club. And if you listen to that video, you can see that the guy's lying, because he doesn't know how to answer regarding the fact that they know one another. And initially it was denied. And then Benjamin Crump said that it's going to be an integral part of the hearing. So you said that I made a mistake. What mistake?
Oh, he meant the amount of that you meant thousands.
Yeah, it was just an error. You just flubbed. It was just a flub. You said $900 counterfeit was. It was $900,000. They came in cigarette containers.
But
they were shipping that in. But that story dropped at the same time, even though they didn't connect that to George Floyd. But the funniest thing about it is the whole George thing got kicked off by them saying that he got caught passing counterfeit money, okay, and they were, you know, at a convenience store, which they were doing, But then it spun off into other stuff, that it was harassment, and then they went into the I Can't Breathe stuff, and to, you know.
Well, they don't share the photos of all the dollar bills that were shoved in between the seats. And yeah, in 2019, he told the cops that he has a daily sniffing oxycodone problem. He was an accomplice to a pistol whipping. Courtney,
pregnant lady,
fiance, says that he's the most spiritual man that she's ever met. A god that.
I remember that. I was listening. I was listening one afternoon, and they did one of those little news briefs. And she said, "We always had Sunday dinner together, and he was the kindest, most spiritual man, and blah blah blah." And I nearly, you know, I mean, the gaslighting. Let me, before we pass it off, William Barr, you know, during the whole, they brought him in for damage control because they knew Trump was, you know, not exactly on a leash and whatever. So Barr was brought off the bench as damage control. And how funny enough that Mueller was brought off the bench for the investigation. But then we always heard those stories that Mueller and Barr were great friends and their wives were friends and they've been buddies for years. And all this stuff has just been a one big, you know, mess of confusion. Now, why Paul's not saying, well, you know, I'll be happy when they arrest him. Why haven't they arrested people? Well, they allegedly, and this is just the narrative that's been going around, they let these people keep running around so they can follow them, see who their contacts are, let them cause more trouble, let them think they're getting away scot-free, and so on and so forth. And especially when it came to these candidates, let them commit to Joe Biden, who was already, you know, who had to run for president in order to try and gave off the Ukraine stuff a little bit longer, and they forced him into it. Now, if they would have arrested him anytime sooner, they would have had time to find another candidate that wouldn't have been as lousy as Biden and whoever else. So some of this stuff makes sense, and in other stuff, it just, you know, it's just confusion. We feel like we're being played. Go ahead.
Good stuff, Rue. Giuseppe.
Yeah, what's astounding to me is how the massive public relations gaslighting effort is going on now with the AARP is holding virtual meetings about how the coronavirus vaccine will be good for seniors when it's a eugenics tool to kill seniors. And every which way, it's just they're going to try and convince the cattle, the goyim cattle, to take this vaccine. And sadly, I think they're going to succeed.
It's a tragic prospect, Giuseppe. Let's hope to God it doesn't happen. But you may well be right. Miriam.
I think you're right. I think that, and you know, whatever, your body, your choice. You want to go and return to normal life. I find it funny when people, you know, I see clients and I've had the question of like, can you show me how to detox? Sorry, there's no way to detox from being genetically modified. Or the people will say, I want to return back to normal, so I'm going to get the vaccine. I mean, it's really monumental, the scientism. It's monumental. You know, you have I've scraped footage of Fauci speaking to children, addressing, you know, they don't know what to do with us. You know, yesterday I was watching with Zach NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. It's become like comedy hour. And you have Fauci saying that we're dealing with a surge on top of a surge.
It's such bullshit from this guy. He ought to be strung up. He's done more damage to America than all our enemies, foreign enemies combined. Disgrace.
Now you're talking.
Paul, go ahead.
Found lawsuits in regards to him when I found out that I was being attacked due to Operation Quack Hack. I'm like, let me see what I could find on you. And I interviewed Dr. Michael Hall, who basically said that Fauci knowingly was spraying people in Florida for optics in order to preserve tourism. So When was the last time that this man put a stethoscope on anyone's heart? He's been in circulation for six presidencies, and I believe he says, how many years? Is it 26 or 32? A long time. And then I also found the lawsuit that he filed against Imelda Marcos in regards to sitting on the Doris Duke Foundation as a trust board of trustees. Let's remind everyone that Doris Duke is a tobacco heiress. Lots to do with health there. Tobacco.
Paul, you were.
You know, it was kind of interesting. This is not what I was going to say, but years and years ago, I want to say probably back in the 80s sometime, I went to some meeting, some business seminar type thing, and it was a Doris Duke organization, promoting all sorts of things, including these entrepreneurship programs where if you pay them a certain amount of money, they'll train you how to go out there and kick ass in the business world. It was kind of interesting. But, you know, just quickly, I've made my points years ago on this show. I just don't think there's any lawsuiting our way out of this. There's no voting our way out of this. This is a dirty street fight. And until we start thinking along those lines, we're just going to be spectators to the states, you know, play they're putting on. Miriam, you made some comments earlier in the show about the fact that you hold out the possibility this could be scripted. Yes, so do I. And the amount of participation from Trump, I hold out, there could be a spectrum. I'm not really sure. I hold out hope, like a lot of people, for the authenticity of Trump. However, some of the best minds on the internet are talking, have predicted exactly what we're seeing unfolding, which is maximum controversy, maximum drama, maximum emotional upheaval, maximum tension, foreboding of the future, you know, keeping us in fear. Oh, can we ever go back to normal? Oh, what about a vaccine? It's just constant. And it's an accelerated pace. Even Jim Fetzer, who's been on top of this for a very long time, will admit that it just seems to be accelerated the last few years. Just quickly on some of the things that Brew and I were talking about. It was the 16th of November, I believe. I listened to the show again where it was just me and Brew and then you, Jim. And it was a good show, actually. And Brew was trying to get me to pick a side, which I found humorous. But at the end of the show, Jim, when I made the point about, okay, just arrest one person, just arrest and prosecute one person. Why are we waiting? In other words, Trump doesn't even need to wait until he has a second term. He could have started doing it before. He could start doing it now. And Jim, you made the point on the 16th of November, and I'm not holding you to it, but you said, just wait, Paul. You'll probably see some arrests in the next 10 days. So just for the fun of it.
That's good, Paul. I like those testable hypotheses. You got the evidence on your side. That was a nice falsifiable assertion on my part.
I could play the clip, but anyway, just for the fun of it, because we're all good friends here, and I'm hanging out at G.P. Fetzer's bar.
Let me get Brew back in, because I know you had a few more things to say.
Just real quick. No, I'm almost done. Then everybody else can go for the rest of the show. I'm slapping $20 down on the counter right now, and I'm saying to you and everybody else, you want to take the bet that Trump wins, he gets installed in office, and I'll give you 100 days, not just 10 days, and I'll say that no more than one or two people will be arrested.
God, Paul, that would just be utterly decimating. That would really terribly damage my impression of the guy. Brew, go ahead.
Yeah, I never predict the future. I never put timelines or dates on anything. I don't ever do that myself. You know, the other day on the news, they were like, Thanksgiving, even though they didn't want people to travel and stay at home. 1.1 million people travel, which is the highest point of people traveling since this whole garbage began. And instead of taking home leftovers, they took over home the highest number of cases of coronavirus, 200,000. So yeah. That was one play the other day.
These are all false positives. The whole damn thing is a total fraud. Miriam, I want you to have the opportunity for a few final words here. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show tonight. And I look forward to having you back. I hope that will work out.
I would love that. Thank you. I would like to, if it's possible, to invite people to follow my work. I don't know. Are you going to share any links?
You're welcome to.
I would love for people to follow me on Twitter. I do thread apps. I'm still there. I'm very shadow banned. I lose followers every single day. That's how they play with me. I'm at Maryam, M-A-R-Y-A-M as in Mary, H-E N as in Nancy, E-I-N as in Nancy. You can find me on my backup channel. I'm going to personalize it because I just reached 1,000 followers. So it'll be Maryam Hinnane, B-Lady2. And if anyone wants to support my work, again, if you read my piece in Activist Post, I think it shows the caliber of my writing and research. And I do not get paid for any of that. So it's to keep going. I hope that in the next couple of weeks I will probably go to Georgia or Pennsylvania, somewhere to continue to cover the Stop the Steal movement. I'm working on my third piece, which is on Michigan. So after this, I'm going to go to continue listening to the hearing. And also I have an interview set up with a witness today.
Well, Maryam, you're just sensational. I'm just delighted to have had you here today.
Thank you.
Let me just remind everyone, tomorrow I begin the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So it's tomorrow, Central, 11 to 1, with Edward Hendry about the COVID expose from Johns Hopkins. Giuseppe, would you like to add a final word of appreciation to our guest?
Oh, I'm just a huge fan of Miriam's effort. She's the rarest of the rare in this modern world, a true muckraking journalist. You know, there's only a few around like Mark Anderson, John Rappaport, and you probably count just on the fingers you have. And she is really good, and hopefully we see a lot more of her on Revolution Radio.
Yeah, I think she's got a lot of fans. You got a lot of fans here, Miriam. We're very delighted to have you here. Just completely sensational. Let me say how much I enjoy being on Revolution Radio and having the opportunity to feature guests like Maryam, who's doing fighting the good fight, getting the truth out, suffering the consequences, as are we all. And I just remind us that if by some tragic set of circumstances, this guy, whoever he may be, calling himself Joe Biden, should be inaugurated, be prepared. Stock up, put in supplies. If you don't know how to defend yourself, you better learn. The cops aren't going to do it. Lock load.
Jim, it's the whole where's Hunter? Where is Hunter? It's still a theme. Where it's been suspected that it's Hunter Biden and all the FX makeup. They got the people make him up in all those masks, and they got the CIA masks. These things are so good, plus their FX team that make up Hunter Biden. So that's pretty much a strong narrative for what that is. Where's Hunter?
That's right. We'll try to figure out who the hell this guy is, because I guarantee you it's not Joe Biden, who has a long history that's very checkered. Remember, this guy, in three attempts to the presidency, didn't win a single primary or a single caucus until South Carolina, when Google came to his aid and the whole party moved to try to deify a man who's beyond incompetence. He's utterly corrupt. And 1/6 of all Democrats say if they'd only known about the Hunter scandals, they would not have voted for this guy. But they should have known better in the first place. Maryam, again, thanks so much. I hope you'll all join me tomorrow at my new time slot, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 to 1 Central. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.